أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'd like to thank the organizers for inviting me, and for the host also to be kind and generous enough to host all of us here in this wonderful place. And I'd like to thank the attendees for sacrificing their weekend. It's not easy to sacrifice your weekend for a long talk about Islam. But hopefully, inshallah, to make it a bit interesting and lively, I'll need you to interact with me. Whenever I ask questions or whenever I expect you to participate, then please do, okay? Otherwise, all of us are going to be sleeping, including me. And we don't want that, okay? So, seerah and life. Of course, we're talking about seerah. It's a very big topic, and it's very near and dear to my heart. And I thought I'd focus on one aspect of it today, inshallah, for all of us, and go really, really deep into it. The word seerah in Arabic language comes from sayr, which means to tread on a path. And so when we study seerah, the objective of studying seerah is what? Just to know facts and chronological events.
To learn about the Prophet.
Okay, to learn about him and his life, or what's the connection between learning about his life and seerah? I saw a hand coming up from there, yes?
So we know how to spend our life also.
Absolutely. That's why the title of the talk is Seerah and Life. The idea is to study his life and then learn how to walk on his path. That literally, that's what seerah means, is to walk on his footsteps in your life. So, for those of you who can't see the slides, I feel sorry for you, but for those of you who can, this is a very general kind of snapshot of seerah from beginning till the end. The green colors represent the Meccan period. Who knows how many years were spent in Mecca for the Prophet ﷺ after he became a prophet? Anyone? Yeah?
10 years,
close. Yes?
13.
13 years, very good. And how many years in Medina? How many years in Medina? Yes.
His whole life?
Not really, yes.
10
years, yeah. So the total period of seerah was? 13 plus 10 is what?
23.
Very good. You guys are good in math, mashallah. Very good. So the question I want to ask you is, what was the most difficult time of the Prophet's life? If you could choose one. And I want other people to participate, not the same people only. Yes. The year of sorrow or the year of sadness. Very difficult time, yes. Any other ideas? Yes?
Battle of Badr.
Okay, some could argue the battles were difficult times. Yes?
Battle of Badr.
Okay, battles again. Anyone else? Yes?
Leaving Mecca
and migration. Wow. Yes, very painful experience for him. Leaving home. Yeah.
Either the year of sorrow or during the boycott.
Either the year of sorrow or during the boycott. I love all the answers. And all of you are right in different ways, right? But what I want to focus on is the point in his life, and we're going to zoom into this period, is where he starts preaching his message, and his own family members, because he's from Banu Hashim, and what's the name of the tribe that's ruling Mecca back then? Quraysh, you can shout out, you don't have to raise your hands every time. So Quraysh were the leaders of Mecca on that time, and some of them know him for how many years now? How many years did they know him for before he became a prophet? How old was he when he became a prophet? Yes?
40,
very, very good. So he was known in his community for how many years?
40
years, and he was known as, what was his title? What was the title he, yes? As-Sadiq al-Amin, which means, Sadiq means what? The truthful, and Amin means what?
Trustworthy.
Trustworthy, very good. So that's the reputation he has built in Mecca over how many years?
40
years. Is it easy to build that strong of a reputation over 40 years?
No.
It's not easy. So that means he was very, very truthful all the time, and he was very, very trustworthy all the time. And that's where, and by the way, gaining a title like that in Arabia was very difficult. It wasn't easy to gain that recognition and title. So the million-dollar question is, if he was such a nice person, if everyone liked him, everyone thought he was honest, everyone thought he was trustworthy, and he came from a respected family, and he came with such a beautiful message of peace and compassion and mercy, then why did Quraysh reject his message? Not only reject, why did they even oppose his message to the point where they, at the beginning, they tried to ridicule him, then they were abusing him emotionally, and they were abusing him and his companions physically, and then it went to the extent of attempting to even kill him. And that's really where they did the migration. Yes, why did they reject?
Because they basically had a business with their idols, so once a year people would come and give them money, they would give the idols money to grant them what they want. Mm-hmm. Like if they want a kid, they would say that they want a kid, and they'd give the idol money.
Amazing, beautiful answer. So yeah, that's spot on. Money. Their love for money was more important to them than the truth. Okay, let's repeat that. Their love for money was more important than
truth.
The truth. Any other reasons? Yes. Green shirts. Yeah. Okay, some of them thought that, you know, his message wasn't true and that he was lying, but how could he lie now? He was saying the truth his whole life, right? So, did they actually know the truth or they didn't? What do you think?
They did.
Actually, you know, Allah says in the Quran, He says, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ If you had asked them who created the heavens and the earth, what would they say? The Quraysh, what would they say? Allah. So they actually believed that Allah is the creator and the sustainer. However, they had issues with obeying him. They had issues with submitting to this message. So one reason was money. And that was one of the biggest, that was one of the biggest reasons. There's another major reason. Yes.
Their ego.
Their ego. Very good. Absolutely. So their arrogance and their ego. They couldn't, for some, it was a tribal thing. How can the chosen prophet be from Banu Hashim? Why not from this tribe or that tribe? Because there was a lot of tribal competition back in the days. Okay, so let's move on and let's try to analyze this deep issue that Quraysh had, which is, we can call it corruption. There was a lot of corruption. What does corruption mean? We hear it a lot, in especially in like Pakistan news and stuff like that. What does the word corruption mean? In simple English, because I don't want complicated words. Yeah.
Messed up.
I love that word. Messed up. They were messed. The society was messed up. They were not straight. Right? Crooked. What's the word for straight in the Quran? Who knows? Sida in the Quran? No, Sida. Maybe the Urdu translation. Maybe. What's the Arabic word in the Quran for Sida? At-tariq? Not really. Sirat al-mustaqim. Very good. And you say it like how many times in your salah every day? How many times do you say Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim?
17.
You guys aren't that good in math. Huh? How many salahs are there in the day?
Five.
Like the fara'id, five. Yes, very good. So 70 rak'ah. If you're reciting literally, you're asking Allah to guide you on the straight path, not the crooked path. How many times? 17 times every day. And so this society was crooked. It was corrupted. And so let's look at, I've kind of dissected it even further into some categories. The first one was the religious corruption. They were worshipping idols. Literally, things that they've created in out of stone. In the summer, I was in India. And we saw shops that were selling idols. Literally, it's like a business. You can manufacture them in factories and sell them, you know? And of course, so for them, that was the religion they were following. And it was very difficult for them to leave that religion because their families and forefathers were also following the same religion. So is changing your religion easy?
No.
Very, very difficult. I once had a helper in the house. She was from India. And I talked to her about Islam. I forgot her name. I think... Rani was her name, yeah. So she was convinced about Islam. But then she's like, Fahad bhai, ek problem hai. I said, what? She's like, I can't... I know this is the truth, but I can't... become a Muslim, because if I go back home and they find out that I'm a Muslim, they're gonna maybe not kill her, but like she's gonna be outcasted from family and it's gonna cause a lot of problems. So she's like, you know what, Fahad bhai, thank you, I really love it, but for me family is more important. You see, so for some people it's not easy to make that shift. When they see the truth, sometimes, like we said earlier, money, the Quraysh knew what the truth was, but money was more important. Here, there's another example of they see the truth, but family is more important. And so they rejected the message. And of course, they had a lot of superstitious practices that was corrupted. And of course, another big, big, big one for them that bothered them about the message of the Prophet ﷺ and the message of Islam was the fact that they didn't want to believe in Akhirah. They didn't want to believe in the Day of Judgment. Why? No, they actually didn't want to believe in afterlife. Why? Yeah, because of accountability, right? Nobody wants to be held accountable. Because Day of Judgment, for someone who's corrupt, is Day of Judgment going to be scary or no? Of course, because it's the Day of Justice, right? You can't get away with your crimes, you can't get away with your cheating, your corruption, your bad habits, your bad character, your injustices to others and oppression to others. So for them, that was scary. Just like, you know, when you get scared when it's report card day?
No.
Yeah, how many of you get scared when it's report card day? Yeah, why is it scary? It's scary because, especially if you haven't studied, you've been messing around all semester, you know, spending more time on your gadgets than studying and paying attention. But accountability is scary for people who... What just happened here? Okay, so let's pay attention so that, you know, we can all be focused. So accountability is scary for who?
Everyone.
For mainly for crooked people. So if you're a straight person, are you going to be scared of the Day of Judgment?
No.
Inshallah, no. Inshallah, you'll be treated like a VIP. You're going to get the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're going to be breezing through the Sirat. You're going to get VIP treatment from angels. The Prophet's going to feed you from his own blessed hands. After which you'll never feel thirsty again. And you're going to enter into paradise forever and ever and ever. And you can bring in whoever you want to enjoy the party forever. And the party of Jannah never ends. Yeah, that's the real party. So for them, that was a big one. Akhirah? No. We don't believe in Islam because it demands us to believe in Akhirah. Akhirah for us is one of the fundamental pillars of Iman. Yes or no? Very good. Let's move on. So religion was the first form of corruption. The second form of corruption was politics and society corruption. Now, you know what custodian means? Custodian of the Kaaba? Who knows what custodian means? Yes? When you have custody of something. Exactly. So they had the keys to the Kaaba. They were in charge of the Kaaba. Now, is that something to be proud of? Yes, it is. I mean, it's a prestige. It's a very high status to be in charge of the Kaaba. What it means also is that you're in charge of keeping it clean. You're in charge of taking care of the guests who come to the Kaaba to worship. Because, you know, they even had, back in the days, they had their own pilgrimage. And Arabs would come during the season and they would do their own tawaf. Astaghfirullah, they used to do tawaf without clothes on and, you know, yeah, like very weird stuff. But Quraysh were the custodians of the Kaaba, which means that they were the boss of the Kaaba. They were in charge. They were also helping feed people during Hajj season. And so that was a very prestigious and sign of authority for them. They liked it. You know, like, I mean, if you were given a chance to become a CEO of a company, would you take that?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's...
Exactly. You're sitting on the top of the pyramid and you are the boss and everyone reports to you and everyone respects you and everyone listens to you. So you have power, you have control, you have authority. And that Quraysh really, really liked it because for them, being custodians of the Kaaba meant all the Arab tribes looked up to Quraysh as someone that's really, really important. But what would happen to this authority had they accepted Islam? Would they still keep it or would they lose it? They would lose it. Because in Islam, who is the ultimate authority? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is the king of all kings in Islam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Islam promotes submission to a higher authority. It promotes submitting to the king of all kings. Which means you have to give up your authority, you have to give up your power, you have to give up your control. Is that too much to give up?
No.
Of course it is. For Quraysh it is. Remember, they're custodians of the Kaaba. It's a big, big deal. So that was another place where they had the truth on one hand, but they had their love for power and authority. And what did they choose?
Authority.
Power and?
Authority.
Authority, right? And by the way, in our recent times now, with what's going on in our region, with the conflict that's going on, you can see sometimes that people have this in them, this arrogance, this thirst for power and control and authority, yes, and money even, because you know a lot of it is about natural resources and money and strategic placement of your trade and business and networking and all of that. So let's move on faster also, because I know I'm going a bit slow here. So another political and social issue they had was tribalism. We talked about this earlier. There was a lot of discrimination, racism. Tribes would fight with one another. There was discrimination. And there was a lot of competition. So a lot of non-Banu Hashim tribe people didn't accept the message because it was the Prophet was not from their tribe. Right? Just like, you know, Real Madrid and Barcelona. How many of you cheer for Real Madrid? How many of you for Barcelona? None? What about PSG or other clubs? So that today is a common area where people kind of compete with one another. Yes or no? Yeah? Messi or Ronaldo? Yes? He's finished? Ronaldo's finished. So Messi and who's there? Benzema or who's next? I don't know. Maybe Mbappe maybe, yeah? Yeah. So what happens is sometimes people end up fighting, they end up not accepting someone because he supports a different club. You know, he doesn't support my club. You see that? It sometimes comes in the way. And of course, another problem and corruption they had in society was their injustice to the weak people. Their injustice to who? The weak people. And the weak people include women. It includes orphans, it includes also slaves, okay? Yes?
Nowadays, the poor people are the weak people, and they always take
justice. Yeah, so you look at that today, also, with what's happening in Palestine. A lot of injustice, a lot of oppression. Our hearts are with our brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. They are your brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. And they're going through a lot of oppression and injustice just because they're weak. A lot of them are women, a lot of them are children, a lot of them are elderly. And they are enslaved in an open-air prison. And that is what this corruption system does. It feeds off of oppression and injustice because it gives them more power. Does this remind you of another personality in the Quran who loved power and injustice and corruption and killing and... Yes, exactly, Fir'aun. So Fir'aun is another symbol of corruption, okay? So money, we had a wonderful answer about money. Of course, regionally, they were strategically located. They had so much financial interest, and so they didn't want to give that up. The last one I want to mention, the last corruption was their immorality. They had drinking issues, they had fahisha related issues, zina, fornication, adultery, gambling, all sorts of like addictions that they didn't want to give up. Okay, because they were just enjoying them. They were in a comfort zone. No one was telling them not to do this. So here comes Islam that tells them, eat this, don't eat this, drink this, don't drink this, do this, don't do that. They didn't like that. They wanted false freedom. They thought they were free, but they were enslaved to what? Their own desires, their own temptations. It's a false sense of freedom that Shaitan sells to you. True freedom comes when you submit yourself to who?
Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, to summarize the corruption, part of it was ignorance. They just didn't know. Or they thought they knew, but they didn't. Probably misinformation, probably missing information. Part of it was arrogance, like we heard earlier. They thought they were better. What does arrogance mean? Exactly, thinking that you're better than others, looking down upon others. And of course, greed was another one, another problem for money, for power, for authority. And the last one, like we said, was desires, right? Their addictions to their desires. So let's repeat the four core issues that Quraysh had as a problem. Number one, number two, number three, number four. Very good. So if you think about it, these are both, all four of them are either problems of the mind. Which one of these four is a problem of the mind? Ignorance, right? Lack of knowledge. What is ignorance? When you don't know, when you don't have knowledge, when you have the wrong knowledge, when you reject everything due to lack of information, lack of knowledge. That's why, what's the first ayah that came down to the Prophet ﷺ? Iqra, because Iqra helps you become educated. It solves this problem of ignorance. So Quraysh, at the root of it, they had to get knowledge for their minds. And of course, arrogance is also in the mind. When you think that you're better than others, that's a problem of the mind. Yes or no? That's why, what do we do in sajda and salah? What do we do in sajda? Where do we put our minds and our heads? Where do we take it? In the sujood, you go down and you bow down on the floor. Why? Because in front of Allah, we are humble. I can hear someone talking. So we bow down out of humility and respect in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because our knowledge will never be above the knowledge of Allah. Our knowledge will never be above the knowledge of the Quran. Our knowledge will never be above the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why we seek knowledge from a higher book. That's what Allah says about the Quran. He says that it comes down. The ayat come down. Anzalna. Nuzul means what? Comes down like rain. It comes down from a higher place. Okay? Quran and the deen is higher than you. And of course, the other problem was the heart. Greed, arrogance, desire, these are all diseases of the heart. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Are you getting bored?
No.
Are you sure? Okay, very good. Let's move on. So, let's agree now. This corrupt system, from now on, we're going to call it System B. Okay, what are we going to call it?
System B.
And this system is what Shaitan wants you to follow. It's a system that the Pharaoh, Fir'aun wanted you to follow, and the system that Quraysh wants you to follow. And can we apply it today to any other corrupt system?
Yes,
exactly. So, unfortunately, we live in that system today. Yes? And this system has a lot of power, a lot of control. It controls the media, it controls the education system, it controls the financial system, it controls governments, it controls businesses. A lot of power, okay? So what's it called? System?
B.
And for you to easily remember, B represents the bin, from the garbage bin, okay? Yeah? So it's like once my teacher told me that his student asked him, why did Allah create Shaitan? If like all he does is cause problems. My wise teacher responded that we all have a garbage bin in our houses, right? Why? To throw away the garbage. That's why Shaitan is needed in this world. So you can throw all the garbage into the garbage bin of Shaitan. Okay? Because that's where all the all the crimes, all the impurities, all the corruption, all the filth, that's where it goes. So what's the system called again? I forgot.
System B.
System B, very good. Okay, let's move. So now, with this problem, this corrupt system B in Quraysh, and by the way, the Prophet was sent to Quraysh only, or for who? For all of humanity. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you except for as a mercy for who?
All the world.
All the world, for all of humanity, literally. Okay? And so the entire world needed an alternative system. The entire world needed purification from that corrupt system. So the entire world needed a? What did they need? Thank you very much. So the whole world needed a software update. An update that would upgrade their minds and would purify their hearts. Okay? So literally that's what Quraysh needed and that's what the whole world needs. And that's what we do every time we get that message on our phones, don't we? Yes? Does any of you have an old software from like 5 years ago on your phones? Why don't we have old softwares on our phones? Question. Let's listen to the answer. Why do you not have an old software in your phone? Yes. Why? So your phones can become smarter. What else? Why are software updates important? Yes.
So they can learn from the mistakes and what.
Yeah, so there are a lot of bugs and you need to fix the software. So there's no more bugs. So it can run smoothly. It can run faster. It can be more efficient. Yeah.
The world needs to adapt. So then, like, it's going to be more, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, I'm talking about phone software updates. Yes.
Yeah.
Because the older your software, the easier it is for someone to hack into your iPhone.
Okay, so security reasons. There's a lot of reasons, right? So the bottom line is all of us, when it comes to updating your phone software, you update them regularly. As soon as that red sign comes, we all rush to update our softwares. Why? Because we want the latest, we want the best, we want the fastest. Yes or no?
Yes.
Now, let me tell you the story of prophethood and prophets throughout history. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout history has been sending, how many prophets did He send throughout history? 25 are mentioned in the Quran, but how many altogether? Around more than 120,000, around 124,000 prophets were sent throughout history. Okay, is that a small number or a big number? Let's repeat, how many? 124,000 sent to different places, different times, different people. Okay, something happened to the software, I think. We need a software update. Okay. Did anyone touch the thing? I think someone stepped on it. Or all right, software is back. Shall we continue? Okay, so I wanted to tell you the software updates story. So Allah, who is the first prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent? Adam alayhi salam, right? And he came with a software divine from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After he died, what happened to the software? What happened to people? Did they, what message did Adam come with alayhi salam? Islam, right? Yes? After he died, what happened to people? Did they continue believing or they went off track? I can hear some mumbling. Yeah, can we pay attention? After the prophet dies, usually what's the continuous pattern? After the prophet dies, people divert. They move away from Islam. And so what does Allah need to do again? Send another prophet. So let's fast forward. He sends Nuh alayhi salam. People, a small group of people start believing. He gives the message. After he dies, what happens to the message? Gets? So Nuh alayhi salam came with the update. After he dies,
a new update.
the people move away from Islam. And so what do you need now? You need another prophet that comes with another software update. Very good. After Ibrahim alayhi salam comes and he passes away, what happens next? Yeah, people move away from Islam, so you need another update. Fast forward. Musa alayhi salam comes with another software update. And what are all of these prophets teaching again?
Islam.
Very good. After Musa alayhi salam dies, what happens to people? They move away from the message. What does Allah need to do? Send another prophet with another software update. After the prophet dies, what happens to people? They move away from the message. What does Allah need to do? Send another prophet with another. But this time, this is the final prophet. And this time, this is the final update. And that's what makes the Quran a miracle, a living miracle between our hands and on your phones even now with the apps, right? Literally, it is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if we use it properly, it will upgrade your software on a daily basis. If you're reading the Quran every day, you are upgrading your software every day. If you're reading the Quran every Friday, only Surah Al-Kahf, you're upgrading a software once a week. If you're reading it once in Ramadan, and you're updating your software once a year. If you've never read the Quran for the past 5 years, your software is outdated. Okay? So, you see the blessing of the Quran? Does this make sense, guys? Yes? Let's move on. What has happened to people? Have they kept the message of the Prophet ﷺ, or have they also kind of turned away from Islam now? Turned away. So what do we need to do? We need to keep going back to the Quran. And that's why Quran is a book that's meant to be read over and over and over again. And my teacher used to always say that with the Quran you need seerah. Seerah is also a book that you need to do, and you need to be reading it regularly. You need to renew your reading of the seerah, because the more you study the life of the Prophet ﷺ, the more it will teach you. Yes, you want to share something? Wonderful comment. Yes, so many people, subhanAllah, are reading the Quran now, non-Muslims. They're curious because they're seeing the faith of our brothers and sisters in Palestine that's so unshakable. They see the fearlessness of them. They see how they, you know, are not scared of death. And they are shocked. They are surprised. They can't believe it. They don't understand how a people can be so firm, how they can be so strong. And so they are becoming curious more than ever to know what is this message of Islam. And they don't want to hear what Fox News or CNN is telling them about Islam. They want to read the Quran now, because that's the book that hasn't been tampered with. That's the only book that is still in its original form. And so they're reading it and they are being amazed. They are being amazed. And so, just coming back to this slide. Now, what was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam strategy? When I say Prophet Muhammad, what do we say? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's strategy? It was what we call in Arabic islah. Okay, islah. Amal salih. Yes? What does amal salih mean? Yeah, it means to fix things. Yeah, it means to fix. Of course, he's calling people to iman, and he's calling them to amal salih, islah. He needs to do islah on every level, on a religious level, political level, social level, monetary level, and morality level. So what does he do? He teaches tawheed. He teaches the oneness of Allah. He teaches the worship of Allah alone. He teaches the importance of the day of belief in the day of judgment. He teaches to submit to divine authority. He teaches equality and justice. He teaches good character and ihsan to those who are weak. He teaches integrity and contentment with money and financial issues. He teaches generosity. He teaches self-control and patience and responsibility. So he's solving all the problems of society. His message, the Quran, has a solution for all the problems of Quraysh. So he's replacing ignorance with what?
Knowledge.
He's replacing arrogance with what? Humility, right? Ibadah. One of the meanings of abd is a slave. You're humble in front of your master. And he's treating greed with what? Generosity. And he's treating desires with what? Modesty. Self-control and modesty. Okay? So this is the plan of the Prophet ﷺ, is to purify this city and then purify the world. And the Quran came to do exactly that. And so many Sahaba, so many companions accepted the message. It started off with how many people?
One
man. And then the ulama say in a span of 3 years, how many people accepted Islam? Do you guys know? Anyone? Just 3 years. Around 30 to 50. Okay, around 30 to 50. By the time it was the conquest of Mecca, how many Muslims accepted Islam? How many Sahaba? Not 3,000, more.
10,000.
Yeah, ulama say around 125,000. Yes? So, just in a span of 23 years, so many people loved this message. So many people saw the light. They saw that their life was filled with darkness. And they saw that Quran is the light. They saw that the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the light. And the Quran refers to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as what? As Nur. One of the names of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Nur, because he was the light. And he was the walking Quran. So we talked about system B. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam come with? What do we call his system? Any guesses? Very good. So system A. So the system that Islam came to fix for system B was system A. It's an alternative system. It's a system that's beautiful. It's a system that's meant to fix. It's meant to fix the problems of earth. Because where did system B, system A, come from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who created this world?
Allah.
Who is the best one to fix the problem of this world? So that is the system of A. So A stands for, of course, Allah, right? Allah's system. Which is, of course, what the Quran teaches you. This is the software you get. When you read the Quran, you get the software upgrade to system A. You get closer and closer to system A. The more you read it, the closer you get. And that's what every single prophet came to do, is to upgrade the software of their people to system A. All right? Are you guys okay so far?
Yes.
Very good, very good. So the first 3 years, guys, how many people accepted Islam? 30 to 50, yeah? So is that a lot or few? Very few. So this is what I want to talk about next now. The Prophet ﷺ, his strategy the first 3 years of da'wah, what does da'wah mean? Invitation, right? He invited people to Islam. His first 3 years, he only focused on a few people in the society. It started off with his wife, Khadija radiallahu anha, and then Ali ibn Abi Talib, was living in their house, he was his nephew, and then his daughters accepted Islam, his helpers accepted Islam in the house, his slave Zayd bin Haritha accepted Islam and later became free. So there were like 10 Muslims in his own household. And then his best friend accepted Islam. Who was he? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. Yes, he accepted Islam. Very influential person in society. MashaAllah, he was also very wealthy. Allah had blessed him with a lot of wealth, so that was very helpful for the message. And then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, in his first week, he goes out and... Have you heard of the term, Ashar al-Mubashirin bil-Jannah? Yeah, what does that mean in English? Yes. Exactly. 10 people who got the stamp of Jannah in their life. From who?
Allah.
From the Prophet ﷺ. So they were promised paradise. And they say, the ulama say that 6 out of the 10, Ashar al-Mubashirin bil Jannah, they accepted Islam in the first week through who? Through Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiallahu anhu. And among them was Uthman radhiallahu anhu. Among them was people like Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, and Talha and Zubair, and Abdurrahman ibn Awf, you guys know these people?
Yes.
Hopefully you know them. And if you don't know them, then how should you feel?
Bad.
Why should you feel bad?
Because you don't know them.
You don't know them, but do you know Messi?
Yeah.
Do you? Yeah. You should. Yes, Abdullah.
Because then, if you're gonna follow one person, then you must know how the people who follow them have.
Exactly. Very good point, Abdullah. If you're saying in your salah, listen to this. Is there a party going on in the background there? We should all go there and enjoy the party, yeah? Okay, it's the kids, sorry. So, when we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ Guide us to the straight path, the path of those who you blessed. Who are the ones that Allah blessed? Who is الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ? Allah tells us in the Quran, النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Basically, the prophets and the companions, and all the good people on earth, all the righteous people on earth. And so we say this 17 times a day. And so how can you not know their lives? How can you not read about them? And today, in the age of technology, with ChatGPT at your fingertips. How many of you use ChatGPT? How many of you use... Okay, so you have Google, you have Wikipedia, you have so many tools. At the click of a button, it's for free, it's fast, it's instant. You can get to know who Abdurrahman ibn Awf is. Who is Talha ibn Ubaidillah? Who is Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam? You can know all of this. You can know who Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is. But it's up to you how you use your time. You can use your time to scroll through reels on Instagram and shorts and YouTube and Snapchat and TikTok and watch Netflix and movies, and you can do that. But Allah has given you limited time on earth. And one of the biggest blessings Allah has given you is time. And trust me, when you guys are young, you have a lot of free time. The older you get, the less free time you get. Parents, do you agree with this? Yeah. Hands up, parents, if you agree that we have very little time. Yes, and we wish we could go back and spend our time more wisely. So the young ones here, you have so much free time, use it wisely. Learn about your role models. Your role models shouldn't be Lady Gaga and Nicki Minaj and Messi and...
What do you mean?
And it shouldn't be Spider-Man and Batman and Ant-Man, because we have real heroes. Spider-Man, Batman, Ant-Man are all fake heroes. The West created them because they don't have any heroes. But we have real heroes that are hidden gems. Why are they hidden? Because System B doesn't want you to know who they are. And why are you coming to these classes on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis? Why are you coming here? Why are your parents sending you here? Yes, to learn more about System A, because they're not gonna. Don't expect this to be taught to you.
And to become like System A.
Exactly, to become more like System A. And why are we coming in a group together as a community? Why? Why is it so important? Yes.
We can learn together.
You can learn together. You can help one another. You can support one another. Because alone, Shaitan, you're an easy target for Shaitan. But when you come as a group, then you become stronger. Okay, so stick to this group. And don't say oof to your parents when they say, Thursday, it's time for Quran class, it's time for religion class. Don't say oof to them. Thank them, because they care about you. They want to protect you. They want you to experience the beauty of System A. So, just like the tree, if you look at this tree, what do you see in the... At the bottom, what do we call this thing at the bottom? What is this called? No, this thing here. Yeah, this is the trunk. And then what do you call these? Yeah, these are the primary branches. So think of the early first 3 year, the early VIP Sahabas. Think of them as the thick branches that were needed. You don't need a lot of branches in this tree. The thick branches, you just need a few. But then those are the heavyweights that will carry the weight, and they will continue the legacy even after the Prophet ﷺ passes away. Okay, so the question is, now listen up. If you were alive during the time of the Prophet ﷺ in the first 3 years, would he have chosen you among the special few?
Maybe.
You don't need to answer. It's a question to make you reflect. If you were to face the Prophet on the Day of Judgment and he saw you, would he be happy to see you? Would he identify you among all the young boys and girls? Would he say, hey you, I know you. You did so much for my deen. You were so active. You were such a good ambassador of my deen. You sacrificed your time for me. You spent your time to read about me and my message. Come here. I want to give you a hug. Would you want to be that person?
Yeah.
Or would you want to be just like someone ordinary who the Prophet wouldn't recognize? How would it feel if the Prophet just walked by you and he didn't recognize you? Think about this, guys. And you know, if we reflect at the stars at the night sky, do all of them shine with the same level of brightness?
No.
So to be seen, guys, stars sometimes teach us a lot of lessons. One of the beautiful lessons of the stars is that you can be a very ordinary star that's somewhere out there in the darkness, or it can be a bright, brilliant star that shines out because you're doing the extra stuff. You're going the extra mile. You're getting out of your comfort zone to do the extra work. All the Sahaba, by the way, they had their jobs, they had their busy lives. The mothers would cook, they would have children, they would get married, they would go to the market, they would do farming and all of that, and all sorts of jobs. But they were passionate about this deen. This deen was running through their blood, through their veins. They breathed this deen. They lived for this deen. This was their deen, was their number one priority in their life. And so that's what makes you a shining, brilliant star. So how many of you want to be that brilliant, shining star? Raise your hands. Inshallah, all of you will be, okay? That's why Allah has chosen you to be here today. So, let's move on. What is the state of the world today? There's a lot of problems on earth, and the world and the earth is seeking a solution. And where is the solution?
Islam
is the solution. System A is the solution. We have the solution. And wallahi, the world today is ready more than ever before to get the solution. They want it desperately because things aren't working out at their end. And that's why, like we mentioned, so many people now, with the tragedy that's happening, with the conflict that's happening, now people are seeking guidance. They want to know what the truth is, and they know, and they're finding out that Islam has a solution. And so subhanAllah, maybe Allah chose the people of Gaza to sacrifice their lives, to wake up humanity, to turn to Islam. Isn't that amazing? And all of them, by the way, don't feel sad for them. Be happy for them. They are all going to Jannah. They're all shuhada. They're all martyrs. Who should you be feeling sad for? Maybe yourself, maybe others outside of Gaza. Okay? And so what are some of the problems? Let's list them down very quickly and move on. So number one is this materialism. What is materialism? Yes?
Like clinging on to dunya.
Clinging on to dunya. All you think about is cars and gadgets and movies and people and gossip and money and job and the next iPhone and the clothes and the abaya and the bag and the ring and the jewelry and the diamonds and the travel and... That's all you think about. And you know, my teacher would say there's three types of brains out there. Okay? How many types?
Three.
There's small, medium, and large, just like pizza. Okay? So small minds talk about things. They talk about what?
Things
like phone, car, like objects. Okay? Medium minds talk about people. Okay? They gossip. They spread rumors. They backbite. And large minds are the best. They are the ones that think of great ideas. They think of how to make a change, how to transform, how to make this world a better place, how to solve the problems of the world. And that is what the role of the Khalifa is. That's who we are, a Khalifa of Allah on earth. That's who Adam alayhi salam was. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ Khalifa, Allah said. That we are sending down someone who's responsible for earth, for fixing this earth. So going back to the problem, so materialism is a big problem. Materialism, dunya, yes? And then of course, another problem that we're experiencing firsthand is what?
Wars,
right? And bloodshed and violence. Another problem we're facing is what? In the world. Broken homes. There's so many people who are not interested in marriage. Husbands don't respect wives. Wives don't respect husbands. Children don't respect parents. Parents don't respect children. There's beating going on. There's divorces. There's cheating. There's all sorts of corruption in the homes. Another problem is what?
Hunger
and poverty. Why? Because Allah didn't give them rizq? Astaghfirullah, don't ever think that. Allah gave rizq for everybody. What? But why are there people who are so poor? Because of the human being's injustice, because of the corruption and greed of the human being. Allah has given enough wealth for all of humanity. But if we don't distribute it equally, then we don't blame Allah for the poverty in the world. We blame who? Ourselves. And then of course another problem is ignorance about Islam. People have so many misconceptions about Islam. There's so much doubt and so many people out there who are trying to change and corrupt the message of Islam so that so people don't know what system A is all about. And then of course racism and discrimination and bullying. How many of you experienced that in school? Yes? So it's there, it's in our societies, it's there in sports clubs, all sorts of discrimination and hatred just because of your skin color, which club you support, how you dress, and how much your bank account is, how big your bank account is, and which neighborhood you live in, and what car you drive, and where your job is. Islam came to eliminate all this, right? Because we are, in front of Allah, we are all what?
Equal.
Equal, except with our taqwa in our hearts, which is hidden. Nobody knows this. Yes or no? Very good. Another problem, mental health. People today are suffering from anxiety, depression, stress, and all these diseases. They're taking pills and medication, and they're spending so much money on therapy. And they're also, sometimes when that doesn't work, they then eventually do what? They try to escape. How? Suicide is the ultimate escape, yeah? To Jahannam, of course. But they use drugs and alcohol and all sorts of things to numb their minds. Why? Because life for them is very difficult, you know? So for them, these substances make them forget temporarily. It's a temporary escape from reality. Do Muslims escape from reality or do we face it? We face it. We try to solve it. Okay. The Prophet ﷺ didn't take all the Sahaba to Himalayas or mountains in Tibet to just do dhikr and read Quran and forget the world and just enjoy peace and relaxation and mindfulness. Did he do that? No, he was engaged with society. He was in the midst of the change. And of course, injustice, when you have truth on one hand and you have your personal benefit on the other hand, and you choose your personal benefit over the truth. Yes or no?
Yes.
Big problem in the world today or no?
Yes.
Very big problem, right? So many innocent people are being blamed for things they haven't done. And so many criminals get away with their crimes without being what?
Punished.
Exactly. That's why for us the Day of Judgment is so important. And it makes so much logical sense. Because we need justice. If we don't get it in this world, where will we get it?
Akhirah.
So all the Ghazans who have passed away, they were dealt with injustice. Yes or no? Did they get their justice in this world? Where will they get it?
Akhirah.
Very good. Let's move on. So think of this world as a sinking ship. Humanity thinks sometimes that we're going upward, we're advancing. Right or no? They talk about the technological revolution. They talk about human beings becoming more intelligent, more advanced. But is it a reality or it's a deception? No, because without system A, you cannot proceed. Okay. So the success formula, and let's end it. I have 5 minutes left. Are you guys okay? Can you give me 5 more minutes from your time?
Yeah.
Let's go, because I'm getting hungry now. Okay. So let's try to focus. So success formula, guys. آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. Allah, in the Quran, whenever He mentions آمنوا, He mentions with it what? عملوا الصالحات. The wow represents a plus sign. Why? Is iman alone enough? Is it enough for you to just be praying and fasting and reading Quran? You also need عمل. What is عمل? Action. Getting up, not being lazy, doing something, being active with a cause. Whatever it is that you're good at, whatever talent Allah has given you, you use it to do amal salih, to do salihat, to do islah, to fix the problems of the world. And so, how do you do that? We're ending with this topic now of having a vision, having a purpose. And what did the Prophet ﷺ do to the Sahaba? What vision did he give them? What was the vision for the Prophet ﷺ?
System A.
System A, but what was it leading to? Where are you heading? Jannah and meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what was the purpose? Why are you doing that? Exactly, Ridwanullah, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do it for the pleasure of Allah. And how? You do it, of course, through the right way, not using the wrong way. So, the question is, that was his mission. Are we going to be continuing his legacy? Because he's not there anymore. His sunnah is there, his teachings are there, the Quran is there. But who is expected to follow his legacy?
Us.
Will you do that?
Inshallah.
Because without a direction, my dear brothers and sisters, without a direction in your life, without a vision, without a purpose, you are at severe risk. And that's what System B wants you to do, is to be lost, is to be stagnant, is to do nothing, is to just waste your time. But Allah has given us a qibla, He's given us a direction. Yes, we pray to the Kaaba, but it's a reminder that we have a mission. We are the followers of the legacy of the Prophet ﷺ. Every single time you pray, you remind yourself to turn your direction to something meaningful. You have a purpose. You have a direction. You're not just lost. And my dear brothers and sisters, this statement here changed my life when my teacher taught me it. He said that if you don't have a correct and clear vision, you risk becoming the instrument of an undesired vision. Let's repeat this. And think about yourselves, guys. If you don't have a correct and clear vision, you risk becoming the instrument of an undesired vision. Someone else's vision. You become someone else's vision. You become System B's vision. And you become a product. Yes?
I guess if like a popular person says, this is what his vision is, you will copy that and you'll probably go in the wrong.
Exactly. You follow blindly and you just follow what's popular, what's trendy, and you don't have your own vision. But Islam came, System A came, to do what? To give you a vision. To give you a purpose. Which is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is following the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ, making this world a better place, working on your iman, on amal salih, with the goal of entering Jannah and pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every step of the way. Very clear. It's a very clear direction we have. But what happens to human beings? Every now and then we tend to what?
Forget.
We tend to what? Forget this vision. So what do we need constantly? Reminders and reminders and reminders. That's why the Quran is a reminder, it's a dhikr. That's why these gatherings is a reminder, it's a dhikr. And that's why you need these reminders. Don't ever say, I don't need reminders, I'll remember. You need reminders. Because we forget. So System B imprisons you and System A frees you. Let's just summarize. In System B, success is just material gain. And money is everything and the focus is dunya. And there is no contentment and peace. Whereas in System A, success is what?
Pleasure of Allah.
Pleasure of Allah, money is only a means. It's important, but it's only a means. Focus is dunya or akhirah?
Akhirah.
And I've reversed these, but system B are like always busy and not content. System A is content. And the results are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So last but not least, why am I connecting it to Surah Al-Fatiha? Because you're going to be reading this right now in Salat Al-Isha. I want you all, this is your homework. When you say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, pause and think about this lesson today. Think about System A and System B. Think about the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. Think about the Sahaba and their sacrifices. And make an intention genuinely in that from the depths of your heart that you genuinely want to be on that path. You want to follow that path. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. You don't want to be from the system B. مغضوب عليهم and ضالين are system B. And you're clearly saying in Fatiha, you don't want to be from system B. You want to be from system A. So inshallah, are you ready to continue your life following his seerah? Following his footsteps? Living a life of system A? And knowing what system B is? Knowing your enemy? Because you can't follow system A if you don't know system B. You gotta know it so that you can differentiate between system B and system A. With that I conclude. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahu bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.